It is my privilege today to share with you on yet another one of Jesus' invitations. And the Lord is so good in that if you look at these invitations that the Lord gives us, he's almost like inviting us into a process of growth. Because first he says, come and see, you know, come and meet me, get to know me, come check me out, come and drink, come get from me. And he continues in some of the other invitations are going to look like later when he says to the disciples, come and I will make you fishers of men. He invites you into a process of change. When he says, come to me, you will weary, he invites you into a process of rest. And this now is come with me to a secluded place. And it is yet another invitation. Part of this growth in knowing and understanding him, it's an invitation over and over again to draw near to him. And this one, come away with me to a secluded place and rest, is no different. So for me to just explore this, I want us all to close our eyes and go to the beach. Because the beach is the best way I can think to explain all the lessons. So I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think. Think about the blue of the sky. Think about the color of the ocean. Think of the shimmer of the sun on the waves. And the sun in all its brightness as it can only be on the beach. Hear the sound of the water breaking in the waves. Shh, shh. Hear the birds. Smell the salt. Smell the sand. Smell the suntan lotion. Smell the grains. Feel the grains of sand on your feet and on your skin. Feel the warmth on your sun, on your arms and your face. Feel the breeze coming off the sea. We are on the beach. Now open your eyes, almost as if you're on the beach, and look around you. There are people setting up in their spots. They're putting their umbrella there, and they're putting their umbrella there. And suntan lotion is being smeared. The cooler box is being positioned. But I want you to notice the tide. If you've been clever, you've timed your time on the beach in the right tide, okay? Because we both know that there are both high tides and low tides, but probably the best time to be in the beach is during low tide because it has unique experiences for us in each of the tides. So it's not that bad if you get there at low tide, but because there's some great things about high tide. So let's talk about high tide. High tide is ideal for swimming in the waves because there's lots of water. There's surfing, you can play in the water. There's a lot of noise as those waves break. There's a lot of energy in the atmosphere. You can hear the water breaking on the rocks. You can hear the waves rushing in. And you can see it happen when the water rushes in and takes someone's towel back into the sea with them. The energy that you experience at high tide is there, especially if you go swimming. Now, I don't know if any of you have gone swimming in Umhlanga during high tide. They have those dunkers. Okay, where the waves just come high and then they suddenly just drop. And I don't know about you, but I have been swimming in that high tide. And when you finished, you're hooking it out there and you come out of the water feeling chafed from the sand and a bit of bruised on the back of your head and you're exhausted from that energy from that high tide. But low tide also has advantages, okay? Low tide is great for exploring the little tidal pools. Low tide is great for taking a long walk on the beach. The water is calmer, so swimming is not so energetic. It's more like a lull in the waves, and you can enjoy it. And if you go along the beach, you can find all kinds of treasures that you can find along the beach. And so instead of the noise of high tide, there's a kind of calmness, a kind of stillness that settles over the beach as everyone, including nature, just settles into a kind of peace. And even the noise of low tide is lower than it is at high tide. Low tide is also when the entire beach is exposed and everything from the previous high tide is lying up there on the high tide mark. And the sun beats down and you just enjoy that space and that spaciousness that the tide involves. In Psalm 31, verse 15, David says, my times are in your hands, meaning that our life and our circumstances are controlled by God. And in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, Solomon tells us that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. Meaning again that our times and seasons of our lives are determined by God. And then in Acts 17, 26, God tells us that every nation of man, he determines the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. And in verse 28, it says that in him we live and move and have our being. So I want to suggest to you that everything in our lives is under his control in the times and seasons that God sets for our lives. And I believe that our lives go through seasons of high tide and seasons of low tide, followed by yet another high tide. And that the high tide is very often times and seasons in our lives when the Holy Spirit is very active. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of holding out in faith. There's a lot of standing firmly on what we believe. There's a lot of relying on what we have from previous experiences as we've read our Bible. And I want to suggest to you that those high tides are normally characterized by one of the following. There has been a great work with the Lord and with the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's been victory. You've overcome obstacles. And it's resulted in great achievement. A high tide may be a season of great vision where you saw something happen and then the fulfillment of that vision. Look at Big Weekend on the weekend. That was a great vision. And during the high tide of Big Weekend, we achieved those visions. There's a time of great bravery when you have to face something that is really scary. Perhaps there's illness. Perhaps there's an experience of violence in your family. Perhaps there's an experience of a car accident or a robbery. Sometimes that gives us great courage. And then there might be a time of warfare and battles where we've had to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, battle an enemy within our life experience. There also may be that we've had some setbacks or someone's lost a job, or you didn't get the money you were expecting to get, or there may be an obstacle to achieving the new job that you wanted. There may be an illness in the family or a delay of something that you were counting on, and you've had to rely on the Holy Spirit for the fulfillment of the things that you hope for and dream. So I want to suggest to you that the high tide is a time of a lot of energy, a lot of focus on what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. And it's a lot of ministry, or even in our work environments, it might be a big project that we've done. Or it may be house moving. It may be a change of job. It may be getting through a difficult time. We all go through high tides in our lives. And so we just have to take a moment to think about, just thinking about the last 3 months of your life, try and think, what looked like a high tide in my life in the last 3 months. It is definitely a period of deep reliance on the Holy Spirit, high demand on our energy and our faith, okay? And a period that brings with it a type of exhaustion, like when you come out of the sea and you feel all scratched and bashed by the sea. After the season of life, we get to this period where in our soul, there's a type of tiredness, because you've just been through a difficult time. And that is a type of tiredness that a good sleep is not going to fix, neither is a holiday. It's just a tiredness that is in the spirit, okay? Just a life-weary tiredness that comes from the high tide. And in our culture, we live in a world where people promote busyness, consumerism, productivity, information overload, pressure to perform, time limits, deadlines. We have a world that pushes us. And our culture is not designed for rest or recovery. You never see them on a billboard, have a rest. Okay? You never see them promoting go on holiday. All right? You never see them promoting only work your fixed work hours. They don't do that. Our culture is very much about what we achieve, what we're doing. And we as people live in that pressured environment all the time. How many of you get irritated with that little thing that on the computer that takes time for something to load? Okay? That's how busy and pressured we are, that even a little thing like that, that actually only takes probably like 5 seconds, annoys and irritates us because it's not there. We are an instant society. So what happens in our world is that when low tide eventually comes into our life, a season of quietness, we don't recognize it because we're always pushing. We're always busy. We're always busy with the noise, and we don't actually notice that the tide has turned. We don't actually notice that things have gone from high tide to low tide in our lives. And because we have these seasons, our Father knows that we need rest. Our Father knows what happens to us. And so right from the beginning, He designed a Sabbath rest. And He designed for us to find that rest, because even in nature, He shows us that rest is important. In winter, everything rests. Animals hibernate. Even metal, if you work it nonstop, gets metal fatigue. Even metal has to rest. So rest is so much a part of the world that we're in that everything in the world needs rest. But we, in our culture, we go without it. We push, 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 push. And there comes with it a tiredness. So when this low tide comes, it's not always clear that it has arrived in our lives. But sometimes we notice it after a while, where we have that sense of, oh, I can breathe again, or that project is over. But some of you might still be in your high tide, where you're still busy fighting the waves, okay? You're still at war. You're still working on that project. You're still working in the chinbit. But sooner or later, the tide turns, and you get to low tide. And busyness is what makes us miss that low tide. So what happens is our lives feel that we're going from one high tide to the next high tide to the next high tide. And eventually, it starts up showing in our lives as tiredness. I speak from experience here because I went from high tide to high tide to high tide in my life and eventually had chronic fatigue just because I was so exhausted. And that is how the journey to exhaustion starts, is by not recognizing when the low tides in our lives are. The writer Dallas Willard said, "Hurry is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life in our day," because we're always pushing. Corrie ten Boom said, "If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy." Really scary. In Psalm 90, Moses is talking about the eternal nature of God, and he's contrasting it with the frailty of mankind, and that he says that we should live in the moment with eternity in mind. But he says specifically in Psalm 90, verse 12, he says, "Lord, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So we need to be able to number our days, to identify in our lives what time and season we are in. Am I in a high tide or am I in a low tide? I want to suggest to you in this passage today that where Jesus and the disciples are at that moment is a low tide. And at that low tide, Jesus is giving them this invite, "Come away with me to a solitary place and rest." And I'm going to show it to you why I say this. By the time we get to Mark chapter 6, Jesus has already been falsely accused of operating under the power of the devil. He's already been rejected by his hometown. He's already started teaching his disciples in parables so that those who have ears to hear will hear. He has already, they've already heard about Herod's bloody murder of John the Baptist. And up until this point, they've been going through Galilee, teaching, teaching, teaching. So up until this point, they've had quite a rigorous schedule. But not only that, Jesus has sent the 12 disciples out to travel through all the cities in Judah in pairs, preaching the repentance from sins. He has told them to go in pairs, and he's given them authority to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, and to anoint them with oil. Doesn't that just sound like waves of activity of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Then, that was pretty demanding. Now, the 12 have come back just before chapter 6, and they are tired from their journey. But not only has it been a journey in which they've done a lot of things, but they have done this journey with nothing. They were told to go with no bag, no food, no money in their pocket, no change of clothes. during this assignment, they were to rely 100% on the Holy Spirit, very much like the lilies in the valley and the birds in the air. So when they come back from this journey, Jesus understands very much the pressures of ministry that they have experienced and the likelihood that they've probably neglected their bodies and that they are tired. He's well aware of where they are, and it is this personal understanding that Jesus knows exactly where they are mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. When you and I come out of a high tide of our lives, Jesus knows exactly where we are mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Jesus knows what we look like. And it is at this period of high activity, breakthrough, victory that the disciples have that low tide comes into their life. And Jesus says to the disciples, come away with me to a solitary place and let's have rest. Jesus is inviting them into a time of recovery. It's an understanding from Jesus' side what the impact of the life had on them as a person. But what follows after this time of rest is equally a high tide. When they're on this boat and they've had this rest, the crowd catches up with them. And Jesus immediately goes back to ministering to the crowds because he has compassion on them because they are sheep without a shepherd. He immediately starts working with them. And then we have the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and the disciples collect 12 baskets full. Then straight away, they get on a boat to go to Bathsheba, and Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. They have a massive storm, all right, and Jesus comes walking on the water. Now, it doesn't tell us this in Mark, but we know that when Jesus walks on water, that shortly after Peter walked on the water. We also know that Jesus got into the boat and immediately stilled the storm. And we know that at that point, the disciples had a fresh revelation of who God is, a fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit about who Jesus is. Then straight away, they get in the land up in Gennesaret, and there they spend days healing people and ministering to people. Doesn't it sound like high tide again? So it is clear for me at this point that they are at a low tide. So the invitation to come away between these two busy periods is a really important and significant invitation. And Jesus himself, being fully human, knows exactly where the disciples are. And he says, come away with me to a secluded place by yourselves and rest. Why was Jesus calling them out in the low tide to come and spend time with him? And that is what I want us to explore. Why would Jesus do that in the low tide? And how should we approach the low tides of our lives? How should we approach the low tides of our lives? So, first of all, I want to say that Jesus was modeling a pattern for them. The pattern he was modeling was a pattern of withdrawing to spend time with the Father and then re-entering into the world to do the task that the Father had given him. Each one of us are out there in the world completing the task the Father has given us to do. We equally should be following Jesus' pattern because we see it right from the beginning. Straight after his baptism, he goes into the wilderness, gets tempted by the devil, comes out and chooses his disciples, goes into Galilee, starts teaching, is teaching and working so hard he doesn't even have time to eat, let alone rest, okay? So eventually he pulls all the disciples onto a boat. They go out onto the sea and he falls asleep in the boat in the middle of the storm because he's so tired. He comes out, he goes up to the mountaintop to pray. Jesus is constantly going out somewhere into some garden, some mountainside to speak to the Father, to commune with the Father. And it normally is when he comes out, he has clear purpose in what he's going to do. So in all of this time, the disciples have now for the first time go out on their own ministry trip. And for the first time, they realize how exhausting ministry is. How exhausting the work that Jesus has been doing it is. And now, for the first time, they understand why Jesus withdraws. So this is an important learning point for them because Jesus is modeling for them how they are supposed to do life in the future. We as believers are supposed to have this rhythm in our lives where we go out and do the work that we are called to do and that we withdraw to find our strength, our rest, our spiritual rest and energy before we go back out into a broken world. That was the first thing Jesus was doing. He was modeling a pattern of life. Jesus also says, come away so that you can rest. Now, Sonia very effectively taught us all about rest last month, 2 weeks ago. But this rest that Jesus is talking us about is slightly different. So we're going to go back onto the beach, okay? And now you've arrived on the beach, you've unpacked the umbrella, you've put the blankets down, you've got the cooler box open, the kids have got their suntan lotion on and everything like that. And everyone's gone off to go do their thing. They're building sandcastles, they're swimming, and you sit in that deck chair. And for the first time, there's no demands. And you whip out the cell phone, and you tell all your friends where you are, you got you safely, you social media, you know, and you spend the rest of your time doing this, but what you're supposed to do is just sit in the deck chair. You're supposed to sit around and look around and feel the sun on your face. It's supposed to be a time of rest and reflection. And I say rest and reflection because Jesus doesn't just want us to rest physically or emotionally, okay? He also wants us to reflect on our lives, to be still. Because when you're sitting in that deck chair, you're supposed to look around and see what your life is looking like. You're supposed to look at how you're feeling inside and take your temperature inside. And the reason Jesus wants us to do that, okay, is because sometimes we don't see the cracks that are developing in us emotionally and spiritually. We don't see the cracks. And if we don't sit still and just reflect, Jesus can't show us those cracks. He wants us, he knows that we become fragile in the world that we're living in because life is hard. And he knows that. And if we never stop and reflect, he can't show it to us. Sometimes we are so busy with what we're up to that Jesus actually has to bring us up short with flu or something just to get us to think. Interesting point, isn't it? How much is Jesus having to bring me up short so that he can get my attention? Sometimes he just wants us to reflect on how we coped in the last high tide. Because now that you have time to reflect, how did you do in the last high tide? How was your faith? How was your reliance on the Holy Spirit? Because we need to reflect on how we are doing our Christian walk. So this rest is not just about physical rest. It's also about reflecting about where we are. Now, we modern people are starved for reflection time because our world just feeds us information all the time. It feeds us noise, it feeds us activity. And so we as a people have learned not to reflect, which is probably why we miss the low tide. We don't take that time just to reflect. Many times we feel tired and we think that that is just a badge that we get to wear. How are you doing? I am so tired. And we wear it like a badge because it makes us look good. How are you doing? I'm so tired. You know, how you been coping? I'm so tired. It's like a badge of honor that we wear. It's okay for us to be tired after a high tide, but it's not okay for us to stay there. That's not what Jesus designed. So this time that Jesus is calling them into is a time of rest and reflection, not just because the disciples had been busy with a lot of ministry, but he also needed them to reflect about the work that they had done, the work of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit had worked with them. He wanted them to learn lessons, to reflect on how well they did. This is a time of rest and reflection. The third reason, I think, why Jesus wanted them to come away to a solitary place is because of intimacy. Because the disciples, he says, come away with me. Okay? Not with all the people that they're ministering to. Come away with me. Jesus is inviting them into a deepening relationship with him because they're going to get to spend all this time just with Jesus. And in this invitation, he's saying, come away with me. Away from the cell phones, away from the social media, away from the music, the YouTube, all those things that distract you. Come away from that into a solitary place. Only him, nothing else. Face-to-face time with Jesus is what is inviting them. Hear what the Lord says to us in Song of Songs. He says, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth and the season of singing has come. Doesn't it sound a bit like a new season or a new time? Okay. See, the tide is over. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their grapes, spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. Do you hear the call of Jesus into a personal relationship? In Psalm 103:14, the psalmist describes the Lord as a compassionate father, and he said, for he knows our frame, and he knows that we are made of dust. God knows how fragile we are, and he calls us into him in order to restore us. Paul says it even better. He calls us treasures in jars of clay. We are all just jars of clay with something beautiful and precious deposited in us. But the Lord knows that we are just jars of clay. We are all just cracked pots. Tell the girl next to you, you're a cracked pot. Vance Havner said, if you do not come apart and rest, you will come apart. I'm going to say it again. If you do not come apart and rest with the Lord, you will come apart. So in this intimacy, into the solitary place that Jesus is inviting them into, it's a place where we can encounter God. It is much the same picture as we get in Matthew 6, verse 6, where Jesus, teaching about prayer, says, when you pray, go into your secret place and shut the door. In other words, keep the world out. And pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you the secret will reward you. It is a sanctuary of the heart that Jesus is calling us into. It's a sacred place where it's just you and him and nothing else. No work, no mission, no objectives, no busyness, no noise, no sound. Just you and him, where you can commune with him. And we can actually practice that passage in Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, with confidence we draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. It's a communing of our soul with God's soul. So when Jesus in our low tide calls us to come away with him to a secluded place, he's calling us into reconnecting with him. Because truth is, in high tide we lose connection with the Lord. In high tide, we're so busy doing the task and relying on the Holy Spirit that sometimes we lose a bit of that connection. Our faith takes a knot. We have questions that arise up in our fleshly person. And so we need to take that time to reconnect with the Lord, to hear again that still small voice. But if you're in the deck chair and you're sitting there enjoying the sunshine, but you're hopping every now and then to go do this with the kids, to go buy them ice cream, to go fiddle in the tidal pools, you're not taking that time to sit still and listen for the still small voice of the Lord. You need to actually take that time away from noise and activity into quiet places where there's nothing else that stops you hearing the still small voice of God. The shepherd leads his sheep to green pastures. We have to wait for the shepherd to lead us to that green pasture of rest. We have to crave these times with the Lord. We have to, in truth, friends, carve it out of our busy schedule so that we can have the sacred time with the Lord. We need to carve it out so that our souls can enjoy our relationship with the Lord. And then, when we've spent this time with the Lord, we can go back into the world and be the light and be the bread to all those people that are starving for the Lord. But if we have not had that for ourselves, how on earth are we going to give it to other people? It is important to go to this desolate place, the still place, to be able to reconnect with the Lord. And like he says, be still and know that I am God. When last did you take time to go to a quiet place and just be still to connect with God? And how quick were you to whip out that cell phone? How quick were you to go to Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, the game, Candy Crush? How quick were you to get there? Or did you put that away and say, I'm going to sit here and just be still with the Lord, enjoy his presence, enjoy his company, and wait for his voice? Jesus invites us into that in a season of a low tide of our lives. So when we're on the beach, whatever happens, you sit in the sun and you enjoy it. And what usually happens is we forget to hydrate, okay? And as the day progresses, we slowly get this headache that comes out of nowhere, okay? And we start feeling tired and listless. And these are all the symptoms of dehydration. We can't concentrate properly. Our heart rate picks up. We can't enjoy life anymore. And it can actually be quite life-threatening. The same is relevant in our spiritual lives. We become dehydrated, okay? And when we come away into Jesus, it is for the fourth reason that Jesus wants us to come away. He wants us to come away for that spiritual reflection and resuscitation, okay? He wants us to come away into an intimacy of prayer because the Lord needs us to come back and drink from him the living water that sustains us. Most of us sitting here are living dehydrated spiritual lives. We've got the headache in that our thinking is messed up. We've got the elevated heart rate in that we're anxious about stuff. We've got the lack of concentration because we're so busy we can't think of anything else. All of us are guilty of living dehydrated spiritual lives. So the Lord calls us in our low tides back into our presence with him so that we can get our spiritual food and water from him. We pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. The low tide is exactly the time when we go to the Lord to ask for that fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, to ask again desperately and say to him, Lord, I need the infilling of your living water. This time of spiritual reflection is also to seek out his opinion and to ask him for insight in our lives. If you look at Jesus, when Jesus spent time in his isolated places, the word of God played an enormous role. When Jesus was out in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. When he returns from the wilderness and goes to his hometown, Nazareth, he says, today the scriptures have been fulfilled in your presence. When Jesus identifies John the Baptist, he says, he of whom it is written. When Jesus chases the money changers out, he says he chases them out on the grounds of what has been written. He rebukes the proud by quoting scripture. And Jesus, finally, when he goes to Calvary, he is fulfilling what was written about him. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, he says, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. The word of God was an integral part of Jesus' retreats up the mountains and into the garden because it was from the word of God that he got his direction in terms of what to do next. So when Jesus was calling the disciples away into this time seclusion, one of his goals was again to open up scriptures for them, just like Jesus would want to open up scriptures for us. Jesus wants to fill us up with the resources we're going to need for the next high tide, because you're not going to be able to do that on an empty soul. You need the food and the water for the next high tide. So he calls you into that food and the water, and the word of God is our food, and the living water is the Holy Spirit. We need to be refreshed and filled up. We need to again fall in dependence upon the Lord and say to him, Lord, I need your living water. Please provide it for me. We need to find our true source again. Because very often, when we're in the high tide, we tend to make a few mistakes. We have strategies that we use to satisfy our dehydration. And these strategies is what he talks about in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. He says, For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. We build up strategies to sustain ourselves during high tide that are not from the Lord. We build up strategies where we rely on our own resources in order to get through the high tide. In John 6:35, in the Amplified, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in and cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me will never thirst anymore at any time. Jesus is calling them into remembering that he is the provision for their souls. And it is also a time in which he's calling them into an intimate, prayerful retreat, a time of prayer. Jesus prayed before every major event in his life. Okay? The disciples saw him praying all the time. Jesus prayed. So when Jesus retreated to spend time in the Father, he prayed and spent time praying. So far we've seen that Jesus' invitation, first of all, modeled for them a way to live. Secondly, that it was not just rest, but also reflection. Okay. Thirdly, that it was a call into intimacy and solitude and stillness. And it was a call into a refreshing and a resourcing themselves again in preparation for the high tide. But when we're on the beach, there's always some time while you're on the beach where you decide to move your umbrella to a higher spot, okay? Because you notice that things are turning and that the tide is turning. And perhaps you even plan to leave the beach or put on more suntan lotion, or you watch the kids more carefully because the waves are getting bigger. You notice that there's a change. And there's a moment when high tide starts to come into our lives. But in this low tide period, before this happens, there is time to consider what the next high tide is all about. And so I really believe that another reason why Jesus calls us out into low time to spend a time of solitude with us is to prepare us for the next high tide. This time away from him is also preparation. And I know you know about it because you will find that when you go through a hard time, perhaps there's a verse from your previous quiet times that sustains you through the next hard time. You've all had that. Sometimes it is what God has put in us before things go rough that sustain us through the rough times. The truth is that when we're in this low tide, there is always going to be work or something that we are going to. There is always going to be something in the next high tide. And particularly with the Lord's work, there is always going to be work. Now, I don't just want to refer to the Lord's work as if the best work is if you work full-time for God. Each of us have got work from God. Whether you're a nurse, a teacher, a mom, or whatever, you have work from God. And God has called us all to work. And when we're in the low season, it doesn't mean that God says, okay, I'm taking your work away. There will always be work. What God is calling us is to pause in our work, to take time away from our work so that we can re-enter again. And it's very interesting, if you look at the story of Elijah, Elijah had just killed all of Jezebel's prophets and called fire down from heaven. He then proceeds to run probably like a whole marathon across the desert to finally get to a broom tree. You all know the story, hey? Finally gets to the broom tree. And under the broom tree, he says to the Lord, this work is so hard, Lord. I am the only one still doing it, okay? And the Lord says to him, sleep. He sleeps, and the Lord lets him rest because the Lord knows he's fragile. Then he wakes up, and the angel feeds him, gives him spiritual food and water, and makes him sleep again. And then when he wakes up and he's finally rested, the Lord says, okay, now let's talk. He calls him into intimacy. And then he hides in the cleft of the rock, and the rain, the storm comes through, and the fire comes through, and the wind comes through. And then Elijah steps out when there's stillness. Does it sound familiar? Okay. Elijah is in a low tide. But while he's there with the Lord, and he's talking to the Lord, The Lord doesn't say to him, don't worry, Elijah, you don't have to work so hard anymore. You don't have to deal with Jezebel's prophets or anything like that. In fact, the Lord says to him, go back to what you were doing before and start building a school of prophets. And the first one to come out of that school of prophets is Elisha. So the Lord had brought him into that season of quietness, not just to give him rest and to rebuild intimacy, but also to give him instructions for the next high tide of his life. And we sometimes miss those low tides and wonder why we're not in step with the Lord, because we haven't taken the time to spend this time in preparation. So the truth is, there's always going to be work after the rest. Just like for the disciples and for Jesus, when the crowd caught up with him, Jesus immediately started working. And they carried on working. Didn't matter. Jesus didn't go find another solitary place for them to get away from the crowd. They got on with it. We all will always have work. But we have an enemy who would want us to stop working. Okay? And in Daniel chapter 7, it speaks about a king who makes the saints weary. He speaks against the most holy God, and he makes the saints weary. We have an enemy that specializes in making us tired. Because if we're tired, we will not do what God has called us to. So we have an enemy that does it. And how he does it, he gets us to opt out, take the comfortable road. This is tough. I'm going to opt out. That's the first strategy he'll take. If he can't get us to opt out, he'll get us to shrink back, not do what we used to do before. If he can't get us to shrink back, he'll try to get us to give up the fight, because it is a fight to live a life of faith. So he will try and get us to give up the fight. Opt out, shrink back, give up the fight. But Jesus calls us into this, because once we've seen our enemy, we renew our commitment. We renew our decision to fight the good fight, complete the race, and keep the faith. That's what this time is about, to recognize we are recommitment. And also the rest is not to stop completely what we're doing. It's just pausing long enough to hear the heart of God. It's pausing long enough to reconnect with him and renew our partnership with him. Even in the passage we discussed 2 weeks ago, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. That term, heavy laden, is the same term that you would use to describe a soldier that is carrying a very heavy pack over a long distance. It is what he is expected to carry. But what Jesus is saying is all of us have work that's been given us, burdens that we've been given, things that we are carrying. And he's saying is, when you are weary, come to me and rest. Put my yoke upon you. He's calling us into partnership with him, to do life with him, because my yoke is not heavy, it's light. Because Jesus wants us to partner with him. So when we come away from him and we're preparing for the future, there is a process that has to go in our hearts where we say, yes, I have work, Lord. What are the instructions for the work we're going forward? What's the enemy up to in my heart? Is he trying to get me to opt out, shrink back, give up? And can I reunite with you, Lord? Because I'm going to need you as my partner in the next high tide. What are you doing in your low tide? The final reason I think Jesus calls them out into a quiet place is to prepare them for momentum. Because you see, the interesting thing about momentum is once something is moving, it's difficult to stop it. But if it's standing still, it is easy to stop it. Okay? So when things are moving, it is difficult to stop. So when we're standing on the beach, and you know when you're standing on the beach and the waves are washing over your feet, the sand settles on your feet, okay? And you also do that little dance where you chuck the sand off your feet. Because if you don't, what happens, the next thing you look, the sand is up at your ankle. And then that wave hits that knocks you straight off your feet onto your bum. So we all have to do that little dance where we shake the sand off in order to make sure that when the next wave comes, we don't fall open. That is the same kind of momentum that I think Jesus wants us to build in the Holy Spirit, is to throw off, the sand, so that when the next wave of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we are ready to move. And the best passage I can think of describing that little momentum of shaking off the sand is Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. It says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." When we're preparing for momentum, we have to throw off the things that hold us back in our walk with the Lord. We perhaps have to build a discipline of our quiet time again, or spend more time in prayer. Perhaps we have to spend time fasting. Perhaps we need to reach out and rebuild relationships. Perhaps we need to look at how we plan our routine. We have to throw off the stuff that entangles us, that makes us not prepared for the next wave of the Holy Spirit. We have to deal with the sin that the Lord reveals to us. Because as we spend time with the Word, the Lord will call us to a greater obedience. If that sand settles on your feet and you get stuck in that sin, when that wave hits, it's going to take you down. You have to get rid of it because it anchors you down. You have to get rid of that sand. You also need to prepare your mind and your heart to run with perseverance. You have to prepare this, which means you need to shake off that sand and practice some discipline, like reading the Word of God, fixing your eyes on Jesus, and trusting God, because the Scripture says the end result of that will be that you will not grow tired and weary and lose heart. So this throwing off and dealing with sin and fixing our eyes on Jesus is so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. It is part of gaining momentum. It is part of that process of shaking off the sand of the previous high tide. So when Jesus says, "Come away with me to a solitary place," it is not just a call to take a quick break and rest. It is a call to be intentional about spending time with him in the low tides of our lives. And that means that you and I need to be aware of when those seasons and opportunities come up in our lives. We need to anticipate the low tide like we would on a beach. We would anticipate the tide because even the bodyguards, the lifeguards, let us know when the tide's going to turn. We need to anticipate the tides in our life. And God is our lifeguard because he guards our lives. And he will tell us if we ask him when the next low tide is going to be. And then we need to be obedient to come away with him to a solitary place and find that rest. It is a practice of retreating from the world and entering in. Now, you and guys all know about the word retreat, and most of you think of like a retreat event where everyone goes away for a weekend. But I want to suggest to you that a retreat is more about making a generous commitment to your relationship with God. And the generosity comes in the time you put aside for it, so that you give him extended time and a generous portion of yourself. I'm going to say that again. An extended time and a generous portion of yourself. Because if we can incorporate times of regular silence and solitude into the ordinary rhythm of our lives, in other words, when the high tide comes, it's okay, but when the low tide comes, we recognize this rhythm. And it doesn't just become like a quick 20 minutes or a half hour here. Those are good practices, and they do somehow make us feel better. And we are better for it, having that half an hour or 20 minutes every single day. But many of us are longing for something more. We have a sense that if we could just create enough space in our lives and be quiet and give God our full attention as the center of our beings, we know that we will find a kind of fullness and satisfaction in us, okay? A satisfaction that can only be discovered in silence, not in words, in solitude, not in socializing, in spaciousness, not in busyness. That is where we get that more.
So the question I want to ask you, friends, is are you looking for more? Are you looking for more? Because if you look at Jesus' life, you'll notice that he needed rest. He needed to retire from his public life. He struggled with what God was asking him to do. He spent time in prayer. Again and again, Jesus goes apart to a garden, to a mountainside, so that he can spend time with God, because he did feel, like a human, the wear and tear of the public life. He did feel the need for meditation on the Word of God. He did feel the need for solitude and prayer. He did feel the need to strengthen his spiritual nature. If the Lord Jesus needed to do this, how much more us? How much more us? But Jesus would go to these quiet places with the Lord, and he would deepen his hunger and thirst for the Lord in his soul, because he wanted more of him. And with this hunger and thirst in his soul, he would actually know what it means to have the meat and drink of doing his Father's will. The meat and drink of doing his Father's will. We too are called to this pattern of life. So when Jesus calls us to this place of solitude, he's saying, get into this rhythm of retreating from the world and then re-entering it. A healthy Christian life is not lived all by yourself or always in public. There has to be seasons where believers withdraw, like Jesus, into a solitary, quiet place and commune with God before they go back into our daily lives and the needs of other people. We intentionally have to carve out these times with Jesus in our schedules so that we can have that break and feed our souls with the resources that we need with God in stillness. And then we can go out and be a light to the world. So what Jesus is calling us is to a time of deep spiritual rest. And so my challenge to you girls is to recognize when you are in a low tide and to spend more time coming away with Jesus, because it has many benefits for your life. And so what I've done for each of you, there is a little thing with a picture of Jesus. I just thought it was the most beautiful picture to consider that Jesus also had to come away into a solitary place, and that he would have spent time communing with a Father like that. And so what I've done is, in your outline, given you a basic idea of how to do your own little personal retreat, how to spend your own time away from God, and how to use that time. Because for all of us, we need to obey Jesus' invitation, or like Julia said, to RSVP to his invitation to come away to a solitary place and get the spiritual rest you need in the low tides of your life. So as we close up in prayer, I just want you to just close your eyes and think about your life where you are right now. And I want you to ask yourself, are you in a high tide or in a low tide? Are you still going into the high tide, or are you coming out of the high tide? And if you're in a low tide, has the tide turned yet? Is the next tide of your life starting? Are there dates in your diary that are coming up? If you've been through a very busy period now, is there a period of quiet coming up that could perhaps be a low tide for you, where you can plan to spend time with the Lord? Think about your life. Think about where you are. And be, like Moses says, mindful of where you are in your life, mindful of the time in your life. And commit in your heart to be observant of that low tide, and to come away in that time.